You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci in the Dog Bowl in Berea on a tumultuous or interesting Wednesday here. Brian Hoyer named the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Still to come here on this show, Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Gerard Cherry in hour number two, as well as Solomon Wilcots from CBS, who will be calling the game for CBS this Sunday at 2:30. But now it's time to hear from those principal parties involved in this decision and what it means. And I think Rob Jodzinski was asked some tough questions and gave some interesting answers here. And the first was, does promoting Brian Hoyer over supposed number two quarterback Jason Campbell send a bad message?
No, I don't think so. Again, I think it's more of the fit of what we need for this particular week. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of separation between all three of those guys. As I've mentioned before, I have a lot of confidence in all of them. What I want to do is give us the best chance to win and put the guy out there and put the guys out there that give us the best chance to win for this week.
You know, he went back to that game plan reference and that this is very game plan specific to go with a quarterback who does what Hoyer does. And what does Hoyer do? Reads things well, is decisive, quick with his decisions, follows understands the flow of the offense, and there won't be those herky-jerky moments, supposedly, at least in the eyes of this coaching staff, that you can see from Brandon Whedon and that you saw also from Jason Campbell. When he repeats that, it somewhat makes me wonder about the longer-term view here, because if in the mind of a head coach, it really is, you know, it sounds like a cliche, one game at a time, but the focus right here is figure out a way to beat the Vikings. And as they studied and examined what they had and decided that Brian Hoyer for this game gave them the best chance to win. Now, obviously, if they win it, then you've got to figure that Hoyer, according to the rest of the logic that we've heard expressed by Rob Jodzinski, that they stick with Hoyer. But this really does sound like he's specifically the right guy for how they want to attack, based on health, of course, but the right guy for how they want to attack Minnesota.
So does that mean if they were playing somebody different that Jason Campbell would be the starter?
You wonder about that.
And next week, if it's a better matchup, does Jason Campbell start?
Doesn't that leave that open for interpretation? I mean, it does.
It definitely does.
Because he really got into, and I heard the same thing yesterday and I'm hearing the same thing today about the game plan. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know what the game plan is, but we certainly can give a fair guess to the idea that this is those shorter crossing routes. This is those quick hitter plays in the air. I would also have to think that the running game has to be a big part of this too, that there has to be an onus on Trent Richardson and the running game to get going. Not that the Browns are going to go into the game plan smashing and pounding the ball. That is not what this team does, and they're not going to do that, Nathan. They are going to still try to set up the run through the air.
And I'm fine with that. And when you look at this Minnesota Vikings defense, the one area that they have been exploited, I would say badly, is by running backs out of the backfield. So you talk about some quicker decisions, getting the ball out a little bit quicker. I think that's going to involve quite a bit of throwing to the running backs against this Minnesota Vikings team. Let me just tell you what's happened in the first two games of the year for the Vikings. In week number one, of course, they faced the Detroit Lions, and you had in that game Reggie Bush over 100 yards receiving. Joik Bell, the second running back there, had over 60 yards receiving of his own. In week number two, you look at the running backs, and they played the Chicago Bears there. Matt Forte, an excellent dual threat back. In that game, Matt Forte caught 11 passes for 71 yards. So they're giving up an average of 120 yards and 10 catches a game to running backs. That's where they've really struggled. And it's not just volume, because they're giving up 12 yards a catch. So Right. They're struggling. That's a big weakness that can be exploited. So I'm going to look for a lot of what I would call long handoffs to get Trent Richardson out in space, I think, on the edge in this game, and I think that's where he's going to make some plays. His running numbers might not be that great, but listen, they're running for 102 yards on 4.3 yards a carry against this Vikings team, but I think his receiving numbers this week are going to be very, very good, and that's where you're going to see Trent hopefully get an opportunity to be in space without taking contact immediately, and show something. Trent, show something. Make a big play, because even last week, I believe he caught 5 passes against the Ravens.
Yep.
Not one of them went for more than 9 yards.
There's no impact from the guy. I mean, there really is nothing that you can say is impactful. And I think that's something that this team has to resolve and resolve quickly, or it will continue to be what this has been, a long year. Let's go to 216-578-0850 to Andre in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Andre.
Hello?
What do you got?
Hey, Andre. Buddy?
Yeah, guys, I'm just beat down, man. It's no 19 quarterbacks in 15 years since we've been back. We're back at square one. We're just spinning our wheels and then just listening while waiting for you guys. Well, so that brings an interesting question. So, I mean, do they really know what's going on? I mean, okay, he gives his best for this game. So, like you said, so if it's another team, another scheme, does Campbell give that tells me that somebody in that building knows what's going on, which makes us back at square one. And it's just so hard being a Browns fan, man. I'm never gonna give up. I'm from Cleveland. I love my Browns, but we are beat down, and there's a lot of apathy starting to set in with a lot of my friends don't even care no more. And this is what they got. This is what they have to deal with. I understand they're trying their best, but they're best is not good enough. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is the third week of the season. We're already here, and a lot of other media outlets are already talking about the quarterback draft next year. That's ridiculous. This is week three. I just don't know what to say. I wish the best for Hoyer, but I'm not expecting much. I'm not expecting much, and that's sad.
Okay, Andre, it is sad, and we thank you for that call, and I think you articulated extremely
well
what the collective feeling is. And I get it. I've been around here long enough. No, I'm not a lifelong Clevelander, but I've been around here long enough to absorb it. And in the years before working here, spent enough time in the many years of covering the National Football League, a lot of years here, a lot of time here in the 80s, a lot of time here in the 90s, a lot of time here, you know, through the whole return of this team, to understand what the fan base and the mentality is and what the feeling is, and you absorb it. It's osmosis. And I know I won't speak for Nathan, but you've certainly been in this town long enough to get it too. Your frustration, especially at this position, is warranted. Does it mean that the decision makers don't get it? That part of it I'm not buying. I hope they understand the frustration, and they say they do, and I think they do. But it does make it a challenge, I think, when you're trying to sell something and sell new and sell competence and sell excellence, to have these issues be a part of that. You can, you know, part of that sale still is what they've done on the defensive side of the ball. That still counts and still matters. But it is getting overshadowed by this. And the answer that no one wants to hear is that they'll get this quarterback thing right next year. And that's just not an answer anyone wants to hear, especially when they're facing the prospect of the unknown and the underwhelming thought of what Brian Hoyer is going to do for them beginning Sunday.
I'm just looking right. You're so right. Oh. And I just don't even know what to say.
I don't know if
you
were looking
at
me like I was nuts or if I was...
No, you're so right. Listen, yeah. my wife's grew up here, so mm-hmm. I get that perspective of the lifelong Clevelander who has been through the ups and downs from the highs of Bernie to wherever we are right now. And I think there are a lot of people that have had it with the, it's going to get better next year, we're going to be better next year, because I think that, you know, when the new ownership when you bring it, you have the highest paid coordinators in the National Football League. You have Rob Chudzinski. You have this promise of excitement and a better offense, and you haven't seen that through two games. Now Whedon is injured, and we don't know if Brandon Whedon will start another game for the Cleveland Browns. I don't think you can say that you know for sure he will ever start another game for the Cleveland Browns. So to have a guy who was picked in the first round in 2011, and you're sitting here in week three of 2013, and you can't say for sure that this guy, who was picked in the first round 2 years ago, may never start another game for the Browns. And I think that's tough for fans to deal with. I know that there certainly is frustration in the building with what's going on. Oh. There's much more of it outside of this building. And at some point you wonder if there just is a slight disconnect, because I think the people here have a plan, and I believe that they believe with 100% conviction that their plan is going to get this organization to where the fans want it to be, and that's to be a winning team. this first year is not going to go the way that I think the fans want it to go. And clearly with Brian Hoyer starting week three, we've already arrived at that while we are still in the month of September, unfortunately.
It just made that selling job
more difficult, certainly. All right, we'll be back with Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, rolls on here on a very wacky Wednesday in Berea.